Sunday, I was talking to Jerry Schmidt. He helps run Alpha. He did a great job sharing kind of a testimony and a call out last Sunday. And we were just chatting, and I had just had some long weeks, right? Those long weeks, and I was just tired. And out of this place of exhaustion, I just looked at Jerry and I said, Jerry, all I want to do is tell people about Jesus. Since I encountered God in college, since he came and met me in my suffering, he pulled me out of the muck that I was in, all I wanted to do was tell people about the difference Jesus can make in my life. I want to be like the disciples in Mark 6, where they go out with joyful urgency, telling people that life can be radically different because of Jesus. Fast forward 4 days. I'm sitting at my dining room table, and I have my computer open, and I'm reading the Caring Bridge site of my neighbor's house, who I can see through my window. They've been struggling. Their little daughter, Lily, is 3 years old, and they thought they had all this health stuff figured out, but 4 days ago, she was unresponsive. And they ended up taking her to the 212 Center, and all these crazy things are hitting their life. And she just, in this Caring Bridge entry, she says, like, I ugly cried, and I'm suffering. And I sat there, and I thought, God, this is the fourth person this week that you have put in front of me who's just really, really suffering. All I want to do is tell people about Jesus, because that's easier for me. I know it's not easier for everybody, but for me, it really is. Like, I love telling people about Jesus. I love bringing it up, saying I'll pray for you. Like, I love it. But I can't just tell people about Jesus. We, church, are called to be like Jesus in this world, to join Jesus in suffering alongside others. As we look at our vision, there's a part that says compassionate service, and that is key to being the church, that we enter with Jesus alongside others in their sufferings. So this morning, it is my hope and prayer that you will be encouraged, that you will be challenged, that you will be ready to know and hear that we cannot just tell people about Jesus, though that is critically important. We must also be Jesus. May the Holy Spirit pull on you this morning in wherever and however it is that you need to be more like Jesus. As we continue, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you are a God who meets us where we're at, in our suffering, in our goodness. God, that you call us to something better, for the world cannot just stay how it is. God, but it is yours and that you have a plan. And so, God, this morning as your Holy Spirit is just flying through this space, may we have ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts and minds that are open to encounter you. God, may the words that come from me be all yours. May your Holy Spirit have its way. Amen. So for me, I started looking into compassionate service. I said, okay, God, tell me what it is when you say compassionate service. Tell me what it is to be like Jesus. And let me tell you what I found is that, first of all, it's not optional. Like, there is no option for us as Christians to just tell people about Jesus, to just come to church, to just even just do something good and walk away in this area and not be fully present here. Like, we are called to enter into compassionate service. And I know that because I started reading the letters to the early churches. And I started at the beginning with Romans, okay? So, oh, this is important. We'll come back to that. Now, we'll just say it right now. Sometimes I think it's really important before we jump into this, the fact that I said, I just like to tell people about Jesus because it's easier for me. Well, church, before we go any further, it's really important to remember that being a Christian is not meant to be easy, right? In John 15, 18, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Just a few time on in chapter 16, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So I began, and I looked, and I said, okay, what do you got, God? To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his saints, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy. If one pair suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I kept going. To the church in Corinth, together with all the saints in Achaia. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. To the church in Galatia, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. To the saints in Ephesus, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. To all the saints in Jesus Christ in Philippi, we heard Peter read this to us this morning, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. To the holy and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then I stopped. Because honestly, church, God only needs to tell us once, and we should listen. But after the seventh letter, finding this truth of this call out that we need to enter into mourning with those who are mourning, rejoicing with those who rejoice, clothed in compassion, it is undeniable that this is not an invitation. This is an expectation for those who follow Jesus Christ. I know that is hard. I know that we live in a broken world, that it is not what God intended it to be, that there are broken people all around, that we ourselves are broken people, and that the devil prowls around trying to tell us, you are too busy. You don't have time for that. That's not yours. Leave that alone. Or, you can't do that. A church cannot be too busy for what God has called us to in this world. In 1 Peter 5, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kinds of suffering. It is hard, but it is not optional, and Jesus sets this beautiful example for us of what it looks like to be someone who enters into the suffering with others. Compassionate service, Peter read for us this morning, and I would actually encourage you, I'll put this part of the verse up, but if you have your Bible, I would encourage you to open it up to Philippians 2, because we'll bounce around a little bit. If you have an app, you can open up to Philippians 2 as well. We look here, and we see, if you are a Christian, if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, we see this is his example for us. These are the truths that we have called out and we know to be true. So in verse 6, it starts and says, Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Sometimes I think we think of Jesus like just our friend. Jesus was and is fully God. When I was growing up, people used to wear these shirts that said, Jesus is my homeboy. It was like a fad. Celebrities wore it. Everyone wore it, but that just took Jesus, who is all-powerful. He is God from the beginning, right? He is holy. He is powerful. He is all those things that when we think of God, we think, whoa, that's who Jesus is. And sometimes we just take him down and say, okay, he's my friend like Peter's my friend. That's Jesus. But in this we see that Jesus was always God. but he actually emptied himself of those powers, of that privilege, of those rights, so that he could enter into our suffering. It is key to know that he had no obligation to do that. Jesus didn't say, well, I guess it's my turn. I guess I'll go help somebody. It's part of my job. He is holy and incredible and beautiful and amazing, and he chose, not out of obligation, to enter into our suffering. And I don't know about you, but I am not worthy of Jesus entering into my suffering. But he did anyway. There is no obligation in Jesus' example of being compassion or of having compassion, right? There's also no pride. We saw that. He lowered himself. High and mighty, King of the world, lowered himself. There's no pride in that, church. If we look to Jesus' example of compassionate service, of entering into the suffering with others, we see that it cannot be something we do out of obligation. Jesus did not do it out of obligation, and nor can we. It also cannot be something that we do out of pride. Right? So if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, great, Lindsay, one more thing to put on my checklist. One more thing to make me feel like I'm not that great of a Christian. One more thing that I know I'm supposed to do. I just want to tell you, stop. Please don't do that. That is not how it works. Get right with God. Let him stir in you this love. Trust me, it is not a thing out of obligation. If you're sitting there and you're thinking, I do this, I'm really great. If only those people would step up. Or you're thinking, man, like, I've got everything figured out. This is my wheelhouse, and I'm going to keep moving forward. I just want to challenge you to think, are you relying on God in that? Or are you trying to become a savior? Right? We cannot be anyone's savior, church, for there is one savior, one king of the world, one who came and died and can bring the only truth, the only healing, the only love that will truly heal and save someone. I would never pretend that I could save someone. Neither should we. But we do know who can save someone. And that is Jesus Christ. And so we say, okay, God, how do we do this? If this is the example you set for us, it's not out of obligation, it's not out of pride, how? How can I do this? The answer is in Philippians 2. It says in verse 3, it continues just to remind yourself, nothing out of selfish ambition, nothing out of vain conceit, but you should have the same mindset and attitude as Christ. And if you look at that, something that really struck me this week, Pastor Tim Keller said it, but he said, you need to realize that Jesus emptied himself. That means that he relied fully on God the entire time he was on this earth. Those miracles, fully on God. Those words, even though I wouldn't be saying those words, fully on God. Right? Going to the cross with all of that love, he relied fully on God. And so that's where we too, church, need to find ourselves. We need to be relying fully on God. If we are going to enter into somebody's suffering, as we are called to do, we need to know that Jesus is already there. He's already there in the suffering. And he says, come, join me. This is what I ask of you. So, on Thursday, I sat looking at my computer, and I battled. I battled all those things that say, oh man, Lindsay, you should just really do something. Why? Why should you do something? And then the battle started happening with fear. And I started thinking like really stupid things. I kid you not. Like things like, well, they have dogs and I'm scared of dogs. What if they need someone to walk their dogs? This went through my head. Like the devil is running around there. He'll take you wherever he can throwing those darts. And then I'm thinking, they have a baby. I don't know, if you're at women's retreat, you know I struggled really bad with postpartum depression. It was a hard walk for me. And so I'm sitting there, and I get a little anxious, thinking that maybe the best thing that they need is someone to watch their baby. And then I think, what am I going to say? Like, how is she going to know I actually mean it? And all these things that feel like it's taking forever, but are just short, right? Short little daggers. I'm sitting there, and I just breathe in the Holy Spirit. I breathe out myself. And I remember what is true about our call to compassionate service. I remember that Jesus is already there, Lindsay. He's not going to let a dog bite you. Suck it up. Guess what? He also gave you an amazing husband who's like a baby whisperer. So you can do this together, right? And he will give you the words or no words, right? Just trust that he's already there. Rely on him and enter into that suffering. And so I did, and I will continue. Little things that say, like, how can I help you? But then this is just a practical advice. Then giving something tangible. So I said, I'm going to Costco. I'm going to pick you up all this food. Tell me if you don't want it. I would love to walk your dogs, whatever those things are. But to actually enter into the suffering with that family is what God has called me to right now. But I believe he calls each of us to enter into suffering somewhere. My challenge to you last week was to praise God in your prayers, to allow God to just fill your life. And so it is a new month, and I would ask you to continue that, but I have a new challenge for you. My challenge for you this month is to be purposeful to enter into someone else's suffering with Jesus. That is what we are called to. We cannot just tell people about Jesus. We are called to be like Jesus. And that means that we, if this helps you, this helps me, that means that we constantly reach up and we reach out. We reach up to Jesus, knowing that he will be there, and we reach out. It is a continuous action flowing through. It is Jesus' reliance on God out to the world. It is our reliance on God out to whoever he calls you to. And I do want to say that this is really important. Sometimes you might be the person who needs the compassion. Maybe right now you're hearing that, and that's you. And it's the same thing that I challenge you to do, to reach up to God knowing he's there, but reach out. Tell somebody. Ask God to bring someone into your life. We are all in that place at some time, and if we're thinking we're just going to go out and like reach out to everyone, but nobody needs any help, that is not going to work. This is a broken world. That is just a lie. There are people everywhere, and we will be in these cycles. And you might be doing both at one time. You need somebody here to be reaching out to you, entering with you, and then you need to be someone over here and reaching out to somebody else. But church, man, if we can really grab a hold of this, I truly believe that our 5x5 will be impacted by Jesus in a beautiful way. But it starts here. Even the people next to you. Do you know their story? Do you know how to walk with one another? Practice here. May we be the people that have grace if we don't do it right, right? Say, okay, that was good, but if you just listen, that would be awesome. There's just different places we can do that, and I think it can start here. So may we be a people who don't just tell people about Jesus, but may we be Jesus in this world. We are going to go into a time of offering of our finances, but offering of ourselves. And so as the music plays, the ushers will come forward, but I ask you just to meet God in whatever way that is, through prayer, through singing, to offer up yourself to a God who loves you so much and wants to use you and meet you and be with you in this world. Dear God, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you, God, that you cared enough to come down and suffer with us and that you are always there. And you never leave us, God. And you are also there with others who need someone to suffer alongside them, God. May we not rely on ourselves. May it not be out of obligation or out of pride, God, but may it be because it is what you call us to. And may we find all of our love and our power and our truth just coming straight through you. In your name, amen.